Elena.
I'm Grant.
And this is Whiskers. We share knowledge regarding SeaQuest.
Hello. Hello, dear.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine.
I have some knowledge to share.
Yeah?
Not regarding SeaQuest.
Oh.
Related to SeaQuest.
Oh.
Did you know that SeaQuest DSV is not the only submarine-based project that Steven Spielberg was engaged in the year 1994?
No, I did not know that.
Have you heard of a theme restaurant known as Dive?
No. Where was this theme restaurant?
The first location is in Los Angeles.
The first location.
The first, there, here you go, Dive. It is a submarine-themed restaurant in decor and theme.
Uh-huh.
And the star of the menu was their variety of submarine sandwiches.
Okay, I love it. This is like the Jungle Cruise of submarines.
Here's the interior.
Okay. Yeah. Kind of looks like I'm entering a museum's, like, lobby.
It is very children's museum. Here's the exterior of the Vegas location. Like, clearly of a piece with the Los Angeles original.
Yeah, what that looks like, though, is that, like, a sub crashed into something else.
Yes. Yes, it does. It looks like a submarine is breaching out of a larger
cruise ship. Yeah.
Is carrying it. Not
like
great.
Shit went wrong.
look at this. Wouldn't you want to eat a sandwich here that is much longer than it is wide?
I don't like hate it, but this makes me think of like a Chuck E. Cheese that's cool.
Yeah, what if Chuck E. Cheese like really went for it? Here's the bar area of the Vegas location.
Okay.
Sure.
I don't get it. Like, if you're gonna go submarine, mm-hmm. go, like, cool fucking steampunky, like, 20,000 League shit.
Right.
Give me some old-timey sea captain.
I want a pipe organ in there somewhere.
Let's
get steampunk. Let's get spooky.
Play that with your tentacle beard.
Sure, why not?
That's like a thing.
It is a thing that happens in that one movie. At least one of those movies.
So mm-hmm. did they just serve sub sandwiches?
No. That was apparently what they were best at. But they had a fuller menu according to sfgate.com.
I just saw the quote of, "What the California Pizza Kitchen did for pizza, we want to do for submarines."
Yes.
Okay, that's a goal, I guess.
But integrated into that is the entertainment function of being inside a submarine, is how the rest of the quote goes.
I feel like that, like, didn't stand up to the test of time. Like, they should have compared themselves to the Cheesecake Factory and, like, what it did for cheesecake.
Sure.
Because, like, even though the Cheesecake Factory is the joke of restaurants, they make bank.
Mm-hmm. Because they have a 400-item menu. You can get anything you want at the Cheesecake Factory.
And it can just be cheesecake. But, like, the favorite place to hate on, but everyone goes there.
So this place was 11,000 square feet in Century City Mall. It cost $8 million. Oh, one review that said, quote, "This restaurant makes me embarrassed to be human in the 90s. Also noted that the menu was inexplicably laden with literary puns and references to Oscar Wilde, Lord Byron, Walt Whitman, and also angel hair onion rings, whatever that means.
Angel hair onion rings? Is that where it's shredded so thin? It's because it's basically they're serving you like the onion strings you put on like green beans? That's
maybe,
their onion rings?
Maybe.
What does that mean?
I don't know. A digital screen inside made it seem as though diners were peering out at sharks and schools of fish swimming by the submarine, all while sipping their Antarctic cappuccinos. That's espresso, chocolate, creme de cacao, and coffee liqueur.
Oh.
Every 45 minutes, red lights blared through the restaurant, speakers would clang, and water seemingly rose up beyond the portholes.
Oh, that's Rainforest Cafe.
In a little show that intended to mimic the sensation of a submarine plunging into the depths.
Okay.
The Vegas location even cranked that up by having, like, subwoofers in the seats to, like, feel that you were shaking as you dived.
Did they do fake bombings?
Depth charges.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, everyone, grab your flotation device. It's under your chair. And then the waiters would come around with buckets of water and just throw them on you. Oh, they only did that if it was your birthday.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, you know, where, like, what, Texas Roadhouse or whatever brings out a fucking, like, saddle you have to sit on. They're like, you get dunked.
So, this was a collaboration between, among others, Steven Spielberg and Jeffrey Katzenberg.
Okay.
When he was still, like, running Disney Film Studios, which is to say, this led to, in a sense, the creation of DreamWorks Film Studio.
I mean, if you got a dream.
Two of the three founders were also founders of this restaurant. It seemed to do pretty good restaurant business, but it did not survive because theme restaurants are not supported by their food sales.
No.
But by merch sales.
Yeah.
And that is where Dive fell short.
Oh, no one wanted, like...
No one wanted the commemorative shot glass and the t-shirt and the hat.
Well, the problem is you don't have a cute fucking mascot.
Yeah.
Like the Rainforest Cafe frog.
Or tree. Or gorilla. They've got a lot to choose from.
Or here's what they should have done.
Jimmy Buffett. Now that's a mascot.
Because, like, let's talk about, like, Planet Hollywood and Hard Rock Cafe.
Sure, yeah.
They are cashing in on the fact that people want to come see the memorabilia.
Right, right.
So what they should have done was just brought up a lot of shipwrecks.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Famous subs.
Actual and torpedoes.
Like, I was going to say, like, here's a nuclear warhead. Like... Cool. You know, shit like that maybe would have brought some more people in. Mostly weirdos like me. But whatever. How many of them were there?
I think it was just the two.
Just
the two?
I think
it was just LA and Vegas.
Well, and see, that's where you also went wrong, is we didn't put them in malls.
Mm-hmm. The first one was at a mall in LA.
Okay, but you got to keep expanding out.
Right, need a mall in Minneapolis. You need a mall in Dearborn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, or you just have to go with, like, the Hard Rock version that's, we're putting them in tourist city destinations.
Right.
And it becomes the place you go.
Rock and Roll McDonald's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard Rock Cafe. You want to get your shirt from every city.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had quite a few of those.
And then, yeah, you have one, you know, different locations are doing different virtual cruises, right? The program. Out the window here is like lost Mediterranean ruins the ancient Greeks.
Yeah.
And down here, it's, you know, the Great Barrier Reef in this location.
You make every restaurant themed around a different era of sub. You got your U-boat.
Sure. I don't want to go to that one.
Steampunk.
I do not want the Nazi memorabilia from Dive.
That one really didn't do well. But they tried.
You know, Spielberg is here. You see Indiana Jones out the window.
Yeah.
You know, when he ties himself to the submarine.
Yeah. It's that way you know they're the bad guys. Like, we agree. And they're like, Indiana Jones is going to come through, punch a couple waiters, and it's going to be great.
Oh, hey, I got a job at that new restaurant. I do not like the uniform they make me wear. I feel very uncomfortable.
I cannot leave. I cannot go outside on my lunch break or for my 15 minutes. Like, I have to stay. They make us put trash bags on if we do.
It's for our safety, and I understand.
This would only work if Indiana Jones came walking through punching people. There was just suddenly, like, fight choreography in the middle. Yeah. You wanted to get the table closest to, like, that gangway.
Yes,
so you could have the good view.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then they probably stick you, like, behind a pole. You can't even see the dinner show.
And if this still existed now,
We
could go some interesting places with some recent subs.
We're going to roll a die. If it comes up the wrong number, we shoot you. No one gets out of this restaurant alive.
We're just gonna, you gotta get into your little sub pod and you might explode.
We just collapse the roof on you.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Frankly, I'd rather work at the Nazi one if that's the choices.
Crushed to death or Indiana Jones might punch you today. Pros and cons.
So today we are here to talk about the sixth episode of the second season of Sequest DSV, The Sincerest Form of Flattery. This is written by Carlton Eastlake, the writer of Sympathy for the Deep, and directed by Jesus Salvador Trevino, who was a student activist and first got into, like, film production by making homemade documentaries of his activist circles. Started his professional career in after-school specials.
Oh.
And Sequest seems to be a turning point where he then did a lot of the sci-fi and genre shows of the day. He went on to do 5 episodes of Voyager and 5 of Babylon 5s and 3 Deep Space Nines. 5 episodes of Bones.
Man, he dropped the ball with Deep Space Nine. Just needed 2 more.
Just 2 more.
2 more. Good theme.
Complete
here.
Complete the set. Come yeah. on.
We got a trend we got to stick to.
And we will be seeing both of these names a few more times as we go on.
So this episode starts off at the Sea Science Limited submarine development location.
In a classified building. We don't even know what trench this is.
But it's a trench.
It's definitely a trench.
Inside this place, there are some computer scientist-y people.
You can tell because they have lab coats.
Yeah. Who are, you know, doing computer science-y things. But then some, like, janitor dude or something, like, interrupts a download that's happening by opening a thing. And
yeah, there's a spill. There's a spill that causes computer problems, and a lot of people are going to die.
Yeah, so, like, this dude's freaking out, like, you interrupted the download, oh my god! And then everything starts exploding.
This dude, who's providing our first spoken lines, I think, certainly our first idea of what is happening, is only named in the credits. He's named Covington. And he's played by Jonathan Magnum, who is a regular performer on the CW's version of Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Oh.
He's also the announcer on the new Let's Make a Deal, starring Wayne Brady.
Oh.
He wrote for the Wayne Brady Show. I think he's friends with Wayne Brady, you guys.
I'm going with he's friends with Wayne Brady. Yeah.
This Wayne Brady sense. Also discovered working the theme park shows in Orlando.
Yes.
So there you go. They might go way back.
It is really interesting how in the 90s... that was the way to get discovered.
It's where people were scouting. Yeah.
It's like not anymore. You do not hear about this. But it was the place. Like, if you wanted to get into the entertainment business, you needed to work at a theme park.
It helps that Universal and particularly Disney were invested in producing things in their new studios theme parks. Right there in Orlando, yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, they don't really have those now in that regard, which...
Who's going to make it to the audition for the new Mickey Mouse Club? It's the people that live within 3 counties.
Yes, and that we've already seen, like, perform.
Yeah,
at,
yeah.
Like, the mall talent show. But, like, such a weird thing for such a short period of time that was what was happening.
Right, right.
Right? Like...
We say next to the NSYNC calendar from 2003.
Yes.
Hanging on the wall.
Because it works for this year.
Yeah.
So we're going to use it. We're also going to use it, like, I don't know, in, like, 2030 whatever when it happens again. I'm never getting rid of this calendar. I will be hanging this up on my deathbed if, like, the year matches up. Like, no, not my NSYNC calendar.
I need that every 7 to 12 years.
Yes. It is nice. It makes me smile every day. Don't hate on Joey Fatone.
I will never hate on Joey Fatone. JC Chazé, you know what you did.
I mean, yeah, you can hate on a few of them, but, like, Lance Bass has done no wrong. Leave him alone.
He's Sephiroth. He would kill me.
Well, that's nice. Good for him. That's kind of what I always say. I'm like, good for him.
Good for him.
Good for him. He almost went to space. Good for him. Yeah, things are exploding.
Sparks are arcing. Apparently an incomplete download has made its way into the mainframe.
And now suddenly this, like, fancy-ass stealthy sub has gone rogue and is launching itself.
It's shooting its way out of the gate, which I imagine floods this entire facility, yeah. Right?
Yeah, a lot of people just died.
A lot of people died when it blew up that gate.
And it is now loose. So we cut to Pearl Harbor at the UEO base there, where people are working at stations.
Monitoring stations, I suppose. And one guy's like, hey, I see a lot of hypersonic missiles coming this way. And everyone's like, well, that can't be right.
That's got to be a glitch. And so he grabs his binoculars and is like, no, like, I really see them, guys. It's coming our way.
And so, yes, these hypersonic missiles fly right by the monitoring station that was supposed to, you know, say something about it. And they explode this field in the middle of the Pearl Harbor base. Mm-hmm. Ah.
So then we go to New Cape Quest, UEO headquarters in Florida, where Admiral Noyce.
Noyce is back!
Yes.
His first season 2 appearance, Admiral Noyce.
And other dude who they do not name in this episode, but he'll be back.
We're going to see him a lot.
We're going to see him a lot. They get a message about Pearl, and they're like, oh man, this ain't good. And there's only one thing we can do. We got to tell Bridger he's going to war.
Oh no, he hates that. You know he hates that. Aw.
To war!
So then the opening credits play. And as we get back, I realize that every new set built for this episode looks like a science museum.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
The UEO station at Pearl looks like, I'm like, that looks like something I would be able to touch at a museum. Like, hit all these buttons and try to drive the thing, even though it has the worst control ever. And there's no way you're going to, like, not crash the airplane, but, like, try it anyways.
But I'm going to learn about wind shear, and that's important at my age.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It's kind of great.
Including the cockpit of this experimental sub.
Yes.
It also has the look of like, wow, they really want kids to learn about industry.
And poke all the buttons.
Yeah.
I will poke the buttons and then go sanitize. But I'm going to poke the buttons.
These buttons don't work. These buttons worked last time we were here.
These buttons don't make clickety-clackety noises as well as they should.
Everybody hurry up. The Tesla coil is about to go off, though. You don't want to miss that.
Don't miss that. Don't miss it.
So on Sequest, though,
the
DSV-4600.
Yes.
They're getting a call that Bridger has a call scheduled with Secretary General Noyce, and he is ordering them all to go to general quarters. Red alert is sounding, which is a problem because Tony's on the phone.
Yeah, so apparently now, crew members have to take their calls in the mess hall?
Yes.
On a public line that everyone hears.
It is still a video call, but you're just standing in the lunchroom.
In the lunchroom with people lined up behind you because only one person can make a call at a time. On this giant-ass submarine.
And everyone's lining up because they're going to go to general quarters. They're going to go on a mission. They all have things to say to their families. But Tony is having a very Piccolo family conversation.
Yes. Though I just, like, again, I don't... I just don't get why this is the way it works.
I mean...
There's no...
In season one, we were always with senior officers.
Yes, I was going to say that.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, like, phone booths? You guys could have some closets for these people to go into. I am sure 5 people could be making a call at once.
Well, it's bandwidth is what it is.
Lucas can chair? If that dude can do all his, like, high-tech computering, they can let five people call home at a time.
I do like to think that it is a matter of rank, because you don't see Brody in this line.
No, it's like Tony and Henderson.
It's Tony and Henderson and a lot of people that have no name.
Yes.
But Tony is hearing from his Aunt Rose about this one girl he was dating. She's pregnant now and she's marrying the guy. And she says she's not, but everyone knows she's pregnant. And Uncle Paul, he wants his god dang money, Tony. When are you going to give him his money?
And is it for like bail?
Yes.
Like a bail thing from before? Then like his little cousin Angie's on being like, thanks for sending the money before, Tony. Mom bought me this dumb school uniform.
Aunt Rose here is played by Mimi Lieber, who was previously in the episode The Stinger, as a totally unrelated person, of course.
Was she?
Yes.
Who'd she play?
I think she was someone related to the Evil Company.
Mmm, okay.
And later in this episode, we will see the titular Stinger sail again.
We will. Mm. We will, yeah.
They're reunited.
So, yeah, just as they get, like, Tony off, it all goes to, like, general quarters, and everyone's like, God damn it!
Aunt Rose is the most real person ever on this show. All, what are we at, 30 episodes or so? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and, well, the whole time he's, like, talking, like, Dagwood is watching this interaction.
Yes.
And, like, taking in, the concept of family.
And the concept of talking with your hands. He keeps repeating Aunt Rose's gestures to himself.
Yes. Yeah, they all rush off to go to their stations. And we go to Bridger, who's with Ford and Lucas talking to Noyce, getting filled in about how they're, you know, they have all these plans for this new Marauder sub. It got out. It escaped.
It has a morphing hull impervious to laser fire.
Yeah.
As soon as we have lasers, lasers aren't good anymore.
No. It also is not, you know, manned by anyone except a computer. First fully computerized, like, computer-controlled ship that has a mind of its own, it seems, and is just out.
I think it is interesting that the current era of Star Trek is obsessed with evil drones.
Yes.
Discovery Season 2. Lower Deck Season 3. Like, so many of these stories are about evil drones. Now who's copying who, huh? Think about it.
Oh, so, like, Noyce is filling them in on all this, and he's like, you know, we think it's gonna be coming by you. We don't have all the information, though, because, like, the programmer of this thing is just unconscious, and he's going to be unconscious for this entire fucking episode.
I think he drowned.
I think he might have actually
I
died.
I think they're all just dead.
I
love the bit where, like, the wild card thrown in here is the interrupted download. They don't know what program or, like, how much of a program it's working from. And Noyce has the very optimistic thought, well, what if, you know, it just fired one barrage of missiles and then it's done. And then it'll just sit there and wait for you. It could happen. That's not what happens.
No.
But it's a nice thought.
It's, you know, optimism, I guess. But they're like, you know, it's by you. And Bridger's like, why do you think this sub is, like, by us? Like, what do you think's going on? And he's like, oh, well, you know, just this little thing of, like, every hour it's broadcasting a one-word message that says Bridger. Not weird at all.
Not weird. That's fine.
It's kind of obsessed with you. I don't know why. Like, you're just a captain. I'm, like, Secretary General. I don't know. Maybe you should be saying Noyce.
You think he's jealous? You think he wants the attention?
Yes.
I mean, it could have been Noyce. Like, knowing what this is and what it means and why it is the way it is, it could have been Noyce.
It could have been. Could have been. So Bridger, they get off the call and Bridger's like, Ford, get me everything you have. Lucas, get me everything you have. And they're like, got it. And Bridger's like, I'm going to go chat with an old friend.
And then we have a cutaway to the vestigial cockpit, the baby bridge of this unmanned sub. And there is a computerized voice calling out, like, telemetry and just functional nonsense stuff. My only question is,
Who is that voice for? There is no one with ears here.
It's not well thought out.
Also, why is the voice sultry?
Just in case. You know why. So Bridger goes to the torture room that also serves as the home of the fog machine to be like, yo, Professor Dude, who we have not seen this entire season.
The professor's back. It's not the professoress anymore. It's the professoror again.
Who is like, hey, it's been a really long time since you talked to me, dude. And Bridger's like, wait, you know that?
If you got a problem with a computer, ask a computer.
Though he's a little concerned that, like, the simulation is self-aware of the passage of time.
Because he has to go fight against another sort of person simulation. What if they have personhood? What if this is a life form? Is he going to kill a guy? And also, is he neglecting his friend by turning him off? It's weird.
And the professor's like, well, you know, you never know. It could be trying to lure you to your death. God be with you. I'll be thinking of you.
Yeah, he's not much help. Let it be known. He just raises a lot of the questions to, like, plant in your mind as, like, hey, maybe these are some themes of this episode and the science fiction question within it.
And also,
okay, bye.
Maybe I'll give you actual advice next time if you don't wait a whole entire fucking year to come see your friend again. Asshole.
You visit my wife. I don't know what's going on.
You think I wasn't gonna know?
We talk, Nathan.
What do you think we're doing in here when you're not here? What am I supposed to think?
Anyway, I'm going to get wildly sexual with that old woman with the pearls.
So over on the bridge,
they find
Ford is like, yo, there's a lot of like silk.
They're surrounded by silt, and so that suggests not only that the marauder has gone to ground, but that it has gone to the seabed directly beneath them.
Yeah.
Since there is silt kicked up in all directions.
And they're like, oh man.
Oh.
And we're like, to us, the viewer, they're like, yeah, it's totally right below them. Look at this cool fucking CGI of a stealth sub.
Yeah.
And it's actually really good.
It's like, it looks good. It's an interesting design. It is maybe a little over-designed, but it definitely communicates that this thing has weapons and propulsion and no space for people.
Well,
no.
You mean the boat design?
Yes.
As a whole?
Yes.
I'm talking about, like, the cool CGI specifically that makes it look stealthy.
Yeah.
In the sense of, like, blending it in with the rock bottom. That is really cool, good CGI for the time.
It has Octocomo, which is also a video game thing. Don't worry about it.
But yeah, it very much looks like a space thing that would, like, hold one person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yes, this active camouflage, it, like, takes an image of the seabed and then, like, chameleon skins it in that image so it looks invisible. Then again, most of the stuff it'd have to avoid is sonar and radar, not just, like, looking at it. But it communicates. It gets the idea across.
I do feel like if you want this boat to be stealthy, though, you could just not give it a white and yellow paint job to begin with.
It is very noticeable until it wants to not be. That's true.
But it's good CGI. It just won't be.
But yes, in their first contact with one another, this marauder evades.
They can't get a lock on it.
They
launch torpedoes. It launches missiles at them.
And the missiles crest out of the seas and fly to another firing range. That's right. Just like the first attack on Pearl, this second attack just hits a weapons testing ground at a military base.
In Panama.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But when, like, Lucas, like, names it out, Bridger's like, what? It can't be. But because they, like, are able to map where it's going, mm-hmm. they're able to call ahead and, like, warn the station to, like, evacuate people from that area. Like, Bridger is like, I know exactly where these are going to go. Tell people to get out.
If it's firing at this base, it's going to hit this particular hill where they do, like, live fire tests. And so he's right. And they call it out. And there's at most two injuries as people get clear of the missiles hitting the place missiles are meant to hit.
Yeah. And so after it happens, Lucas is like, how did you know that? That's weird, sir.
And it's because this submarine is running Bridger's program. Bom, bom, bom.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to commercial, and when we come back, we begin in the cockpit, and on the screen of the Marauder, there is a glitchy Bridger just, like, zapping all around with his V-sync off.
Yeah.
But wearing a like, black and white suit, he's looking a little snazzy.
Mm-hmm. As, like, the sultry computer voice is telling us that the next launch is in 3 hours, and mm-hmm. they are targeting New Cape Quest. Bum-bum-bum.
Bum-bum-bum. So, yes, the program that this incomplete AI duplicate of Bridger is enacting is a plan Bridger drew up in War Games 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He was selected to be the aggressor and try to, like, take out the UEO in these War Game simulations. See, the problem is... The live fire testing range of the base at New Cape Quest doesn't exist anymore. They sold that land and it's a bunch of condos now. It's like where all the people are.
Yeah. So they're like, well, it's great. We can predict this is where it's going. It's kind of really bad this time.
It's kind of really, really bad. Also, the submarine ran out of non-nuclear missiles in the first two strikes.
Yeah, Noyce is like, yeah, that's what else it's got left right now. And Bridger's just like, you fucking idiots. Like, you put nuclear weapons on this unmanned computerized thing?
I would just say put no weapons on it until, like, you've got the OS up and running and you're testing. Zero weapons whatsoever.
I would take the weapons off.
When several steps down the line.
You're defragging? You're updating? Take the weapons offline.
No weapons.
Maybe at least unplug them. I am sure there is a thing you can unplug.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing about an unmanned submarine. You can just, like, stick, like, a manila folder in between some contact points, and what's it gonna do? What's it gonna fucking do? It doesn't have a Dagwood to go down there and, like, look at it. It's unmanned.
So, yeah, that ain't good. So Bridger goes and fills in the crew about what is happening, and Brody is like, okay, so they're, like, evacuating, right? Right?
And the answer is no.
They are not, because when the last time there was a hurricane, it took 3 days to evacuate, and it would just cause panic, and people can't, like, get anywhere in 3 hours. Brody's not having this.
Yeah, Brody wants to warn everyone, tell the world, how many of them have friends and family in the one city in America.
And Tony says nothing, but sneaks away with concern.
To log on to the internets.
From Lucas's computer, and is like, how do I make this work? Lucas does this all the time. I'm not that much of an idiot.
I think Carlton Eastlake might, like, care about season one.
Yeah.
He's got the internets and not the internet.
Yeah.
Like, he's bringing back the professor and not just any old fool in the smoke machine.
This is true.
So the same Bridger Brody debate is now a Lucas Piccolo debate in the bunk bedroom.
Though this time, it's instead of it just being like, it's going to put people at risk, it's more, Lucas is like, but I've promised Bridger I would never use this against him. Season one, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's not supposed to misuse all his computer stuff. That's why he's allowed to have all this technology. And Tony's just like, come on, it's my family. These people raised me. Look at Angie. She's 14 and she's in love with you.
Yeah, tempting Lucas with the promise of dating a 14-year-old. I don't know about this one.
Luckily, Lucas doesn't seem won over by that concept, just more the fact that, like, you know, Tony's 14-year-old cousin's gonna die.
I do love putting these two arguments in parallel, because on the bridge, it is, like, seasoned professionals arguing over, like, ideology mm-hmm. over morality. In the bunk bedroom, the bunk bed boys.
Yeah.
Which, if you, one bunk bed is worth 2/3 of a paella. Yes.
Yes.
So that's the conversion. But the bunk bed boys
uh-huh.
are arguing about like personal needs and personal connections.
Yeah.
The promise to Bridger versus
the
like,
promise to his family,
to his family
versus
the aunt that raised him. Goddamn.
Yeah. Which I feel like that's what I mean, like Lucas gives because he's like family, mm-hmm, family, mm-hmm. right?
It sure would be nice to be raised by someone, Tony. All right, you got it.
Fine. My password's Narnia.
What a dork. Is Lucas secretly Christian? Is he hitting up the chaplain with O'Neill every Sunday?
Absolutely no. Absolutely no.
He just really likes lions.
I was going to say he really, really loves James McAvoy. As that, do we all.
That movie would be out by now for him, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That was his Narnia.
He doesn't read. He just watches James McAvoy movies.
Well, what? Because this is supposed to be like 2018?
I think we're 2019 by now. 2019? Yeah, yeah. We better
those,
be.
Those Narnia movies are his Narnia.
Yes,
James
yes.
McAvoy is his Narnia. It was... He totally watched those as a kid. But he was one of the kids that, like, for as smart as he is, mm-hmm. found out far too late about the whole Christian part of it. Where, like, you didn't realize...
He was just appreciating the CGI. It's really groundbreaking what they did.
He had an experience like me where you didn't know that until, like, your friend was like, hey, you want to go see Narnia with me and my, like, youth group? And I'm like, sure, okay. And then you go to, like, the Narnia, like, Bible class afterwards and you're mm-hmm, like, what mm-hmm. the fuck? I thought we were just seeing Narnia. I didn't... What?
I just really like talking beavers, you guys. I'm out of place here. I don't belong.
I thought we were just having a potato bar afterwards. I didn't know we were talking Jesus.
I love the idea of the Luftwaffe dropping bombs on children. It's sort... I'm sorry. I'll excuse myself. Bye.
I was... So many times did I get, like, weird in your face, like, we're tying this to religion? Like, I was oblivious to half... I was like, what? What?
Easter is when a bunny lays eggs. What are you talking about?
That one I knew.
What is happening?
Okay, that one I knew. But there, I was like, what?
And when does Jesus eat the chocolate? When does that happen?
Is it before or after he's resurrected?
It's got to be after, right? Like, that's a little treat he gets.
Yeah,
for doing
right?
All the
it's,
stuff.
It's a reward. It took yeah. a lot of energy to come back. I am the kid that cried when they made me go to Scout Sunday because I thought there was going to be a test. I didn't want to go to Scout Sunday because I don't know the answers to the questions about Jesus.
I love you.
I might have had anxiety issues.
Anyhow,
then and now.
Anyhow, with Lucas's login information, he's got to change that password now just for OPSEC reasons.
Yeah.
They log in and it is too late to leak this information. Like, Tony has this whole cover story about, like, it's something with a bookie you got to get out of town. It doesn't matter. Other people, probably dozens, have already leaked this information.
Well, and the thing is they first, like, they can't even get through. Mm-hmm, all the line, mm-hmm. like, everything's jammed. The internet's jammed. It's Eras Tour type shit. Okay? So, like, Lucas taps into the news, and they see...
And they see,
news
like,
story that's talking about all the, like, it came from, like, a UEO link of people trying to tell their families to get out, and now everyone is panicking and, like, mass evacuating.
The one way out of town, which, you know, I think is how Florida works, actually. That sounds accurate to me.
There's, like, a bridge yeah. to every place.
And so we see, for the first time... A view of the new Cape Quest skyline from the ocean.
Yes.
That is stock footage of Boston, Massachusetts.
It's, you know, that's an interesting choice to do because you know it's supposed to be like Florida, so you're automatically going to try to like think of Florida places. But no, we're going to use a different part of the country
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
where they get snow. while they are realizing all of this, mm-hmm. we also cut to his aunt, who is watching yes. the same news report, and grabs Angie and is like, we're getting out of here, they're attacking, and they are making a run for it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Meanwhile, back in the ocean, the Sequest has found the Marauder yet again for their second altercation. They line up, they each fire torpedoes, they each intercept the other's torpedoes, and eventually the Marauder escapes scot-free.
Mm-hmm.
These are easy to summarize. You can get through a lot of time.
Yeah, as I was making notes for this one, I was like, oh man, this is, there's parts of this that's going to be really boring to like tell people about.
You can just yada yada those. But as they are breaking contact, Dr. Wendy Smith collapses in the spiral staircase as she hears the computer's psyche.
Yes.
Of,
you know, it saying Bridger in mm-hmm. Bridger's voice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So she, in her combat miniskirt.
they're at general quarters. Yeah, this is what you wear.
It would be fine if it was regular clothes. It's the fact that it's these fashionable looking like she's going like out to dinner on the town type mm-hmm, stuff mm-hmm. with like a mini skirt and
she is always ready for mimosas with the girls.
Yes.
Always.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Cause even like we saw her earlier when they like she was like walking past the captain, she's like, I'm getting like med bay ready for combat, captain.
Mm-hmm.
In this outfit, like go change, go put on your scrubs, get ready. If you're getting the med bay ready for possible casualties and injuries, how about we put on some scrubs and not our tights and miniskirt?
Oh, season two is a special thing.
So she rushes in there to be like, hey, Captain, I heard you on the sub,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
he's like, what?
It felt like you. It felt like an incomplete version of you.
Yeah, and so this makes Lucas go, well, you know, it's carrying the most powerful computer for artificial intelligence, but, like, you know, it would have to base things off of, like, an actual scan of you, and that doesn't exist, so, like, that's impossible, right, Captain? And he's like, actually.
He makes a little bit of a face, and it's time to call his good buddy Noyce again to investigate this lead.
Yeah, and so he's like, hey, 12 years ago, you all did, like, a complete scan of me.
So
what happened to the disc?
So 12 years ago was in the time when Nathan Bridger was a proud combat veteran Navy man. He was apparently the finest combat captain the U.S. Navy had. He was gunning for admiral and would have done anything to get there, and that included letting them scan his brain.
Yeah, to like make like a AI type advisor for combat situations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like it was, you know, It didn't happen. It was scratched.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, well, what happened to it? And Noyce is like, oh, you know, like nothing happened with it. It couldn't have gone anywhere. And they're like, well, what about this computer programmer do? Like, could he have gotten it? No, 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 no. Let me look at his resume of past jobs. Oh, shit, he worked on that project.
Two employers ago, he was in the office that did that 12 years ago. Sure, sure. I think there is an implication that the missed hologram is a result of this research.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of combat advice, it is like moral and ethical soundboard advice.
Yeah, it is. Because when Bridger gets on, like, originally in, like, season one, he's like, hey, I thought this got scrapped.
There you go. I think Carlton Eastlake cares about season one.
But it also shows, instead of going for, like, that how they shifted, right? And the shift of the UEO being created. Mm-hmm, and how, like, mm-hmm. what it was supposed to be in season one of, you know, it's about keeping the peace, right? It's about all these less military, and more science.
And exploration, yeah.
Which is why it shifted to a professor who can advise and give moral, like, guidance mm-hmm, versus mm-hmm. a combat professor or, like, combat advisor.
I like combat professor.
But, like, that's where the shift is, too, I think. Mm-hmm. And then that's what that became, which I think is why they brought him back to also parallel with this.
I want to see Sequest Professor in, like, fatigues with, like, a bandolier of grenades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck him up!
I want to see a camouflage face paint on him, but leave the beard untouched.
So Bridger is absolutely furious to learn this, though, and he's like, we're going to talk later, if we're alive.
Big if at this point.
So he goes back to the bridge. Mm-hmm. We find out that the Marauder is, like, reversing its course and hunting them.
Because its plan is, as in the War Games, to launch missiles at Cape Quest at 1800 hours.
Yes.
So it has to chase Sequest away in order to get to its safe launch point in time.
Yes. Or, you know, destroy the Sequest so it doesn't, like, destroy it.
That is its new priority. It's not going to launch the missiles early. It follows the plan.
Yes. And so Bridger's like, okay, here's the deal. I can't give any orders because it is me and it knows what I'm going to do. Ford, you got to fucking do it.
This is great. I wish this was the whole episode. It's just this one scene.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times did Next Generation do this? And how many of them were the best Riker moments in the whole show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you kind of wish this would have happened earlier in the episode. Yeah. So Ford could be in charge longer. Because I love when Ford's in charge.
Yeah.
So he has a little panic moment, though, of like, what?
What?
And then, you know, he swoops in and does a great job, obviously.
He does a pretty great job. They think that the Marauder is hiding under this ridge, and what Bridger would do is slink around the ridge and sneak up on him. So what Ford does instead is just barrel over it like the Duke's a fucking hazard and drop down at it from above. And he's even careful to make sure that they go in blind with no whiskers ahead of them, because you send a whisker ahead, it's going to know the Sequest is behind. That'll give away the plan. And that part works great. They catch the Marauder looking the wrong way, but...
but there is a hidden sea spider.
They activate the Marauder's trap card.
The hidden sea spider launches off the floor, and it is a nuclear bomb that's now attached to them.
This nuclear captive mine is apparently a tactic that Bridger employed back during the Aegean campaign.
Yes.
Yes, is now clamped on the underside of the Sequest.
Yeah, so that's bad. but then the Marauder is, like, hailing them, and, Evil Bridger in his cloud world.
Fake Bridger is going to sell me a 9-CD set of praise music.
Yes. It's time for Pure Moods, volume 12. Because we got Bridger in his fancy suit just floating and kind of hazy in a cloud world. It's amazing. It's so good.
And so Digi Bridger is on the phone because he would like to speak to Meat Bridger.
Yes.
He would like to meet Bridger.
Yes.
And invites him over. And Brody's like, yeah, keep him talking. We'll send in a squad of SEALs and just tear his guts out. And Bridger says, no, I shall go.
Yes. And you all get Tony in the water to deactivate the spider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The nuclear captive mine.
The spider. It's okay. A spider.
It is a spider.
It's a spider. Because it made me originally think of sea crab. But I was like, it can't be a sea crab. That's already a thing. So it's a sea spider.
It's a sea spider. Ah.
Because it got the leggies.
It's got the leggies.
And then it attached and it bit them in the butt. It bit them in the butt. And now it's going to blow up.
Like spiders do.
Like a bug bite.
Oh, okay.
It's allergic.
So Bridger takes the stinger of all things.
Yes.
I guess because it would fit. Like, this thing is a small submarine. If he took the full launch, the scale would look ridiculous.
It fit right into that hole.
Yeah.
It was a great fit. Nice and snug. So now when he goes on, Digibritter. Bridger.
Uh-huh.
Is now in red clouds.
Yes.
Oh, I guess. Yes. Are we evil now? I guess.
Quick, Nathan, ask him how many R's are in the word strawberry.
So anyways, Bridger's there with Bridger.
Yes.
And
boy, has Nathan Bridger changed in 12 years.
Yes. There has been a lot of change. And, like, Suit Bridger is all like, we're the same.
Mm-hmm.
And Meat Bridger's like, no, we're not. I had to leave the service. I had to change. And Ship Bridger's like, I never change. I'm always the same.
Yeah, I mean, what better way to show that a character has changed than have a specter from his past say, quote, I've never changed, and I never will.
And Shipbridger's like, whatever, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna, like, go off to Cape New Quest and bomb it now,
mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
that's what the mission is.
Mm-hmm.
He's
very mission-focused, very letter of the orders. But, of course, there are still parameters. There are still choices to make inside the limits of those orders. Like, Bridger cannot kill himself. That mm-hmm. is not something that Nathan Bridger is capable of doing. So, the Bridger in the Marauder had to contrive a way to get original Bridger off the Sequest
yes.
before he destroyed Sequest.
Yeah.
And now, well, that's done. I can blow up all those people now.
And he's like, but they're our crew. And he's like, so?
So?
So, it was fine.
They're going to stop me from launching the nukes at 1800 hours, and that's the orders. That's what I got to do.
Mm-hmm. So while this is happening, Tony is in the water trying mm-hmm. to deactivate this bomb, but it needs a code.
Yes.
And there's like, I don't know what to do. It's counting down. Mm-hmm. And Ford's like, oh shit, like, warn the UEO. We don't know if we can stop them. And this might be our last transmission. We might all die. But we're going to keep trying.
Meanwhile, on land, everyone is crowded around the bomb shelter. The bomb shelter is at capacity. The soldiers are turning everyone away and saying, you know, not that the shelter is going to save you anyway. Everyone is tearful. This is Deep Impact. The movie Deep Impact yes. is happening.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Deep Impact's a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bridger is talking to other Bridger and is like, no, you're not me. You're just a piece of me from mm-hmm. 12 years ago.
For the record, this aired before Deep Impact. So...
They are preparing the launch missiles because he's like, no, I got orders. I got to follow my orders.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
It doesn't matter if they don't make any sense. I'm gonna do them. It's orders.
Mm-hmm. So on the Sequest, they, again, have figured out that they need a code. And Ford's just like, oh my god, why isn't it just the blue wire or the red wire? This would be so much better.
And so Ford starts asking everyone on the ship, hey, what are Captain Bridger's favorite numbers?
Lotto numbers, lucky numbers. And Darwin pops up out of the moon pool.
And gives this 6-digit code. Darwin knows. Darwin buys all of his lotto tickets.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when he was in like, isolation on the island,
mm-hmm.
Darwin had to go and like, buy the ticket at the gas station.
He'd take the $5 in his little dolphin mouth and swim yeah. to the shore and go up to, like, the gas station that's for boats and be like... Click, click, click. And they'd be like, hey, what's up, Darwin? Need a lotto ticket? And he'd be like, yeah. And so they'd like take the $5 out of his mouth and go in and get him a lotto ticket. And then they'd put the lotto ticket in a Ziploc bag so it wouldn't
naturally,
get wet. And
then put naturally.
That. Well, first they'd give him a little fish because he's a good boy.
He's a good boy.
And then give him the little baggie and send him on his way back to the island with the lotto ticket.
And that's how Bridger paid for all that computer equipment in his little sea hovel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then Darwin would get back and be like, no, they didn't give me a fish. They were very rude. I got no snacks while there. And then Bridger would be like, oh my gosh, my poor buddy. Here, have 3 fish. And he'd be like, thanks. Yeah, Darwin works the system. Darwin also didn't tell Bridger that the lotto tickets only cost $3.50. Mm-hmm, and he's mm-hmm. totally like... pocketing the rest of that change.
Yeah, it didn't take long for Lucas to teach Darwin about money. he just let him think that this was all new information.
Darwin plays dumb sometimes. Darwin actually, like, has an offshore bank account.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because he's a dolphin, it's offshore.
Everything's offshore? Yeah, he also goes to school. I love you.
I love you too. What? That was good. That was good.
Yes, dear.
You would have been so proud of yourself for making that joke.
Yes, I would.
But I did it instead, so there. So, apparently, Bridger's favorite numbers are 2, 3, 2, 6, 2, 9.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I feel like that's what a code that, like, I don't know, they would tell you is not secure enough when they say how your password is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You think he picked it for the design for the shape it makes on the keypad? Because, like, it's not his wife's birthday unless, wow, she's old.
No, that is definitely one picked for the, like, how it feels to be able to, like, yeah, move your hand like that between the buttons.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But Darwin knows this because it is the combination to Captain Bridger's safe, and he mutters the numbers as he's pressing them to himself when he opens the safe every day.
Well, I think they said it's voice command.
Oh, so okay. Darwin, so he has to say it out loud.
Darwin's hearing him say it through the aqua tube.
But what is he getting in and out of that safe every day?
Drugs.
Yeah?
No, he likes
like his little, kidney medication?
Likes to light up a little bit in his room. He misses his island days. He's got back problems.
He misses Krieg so much.
Who do you think his supplier is?
Krieg was his plug.
Krieg's like, hey, bud, I got you a nice package this month. Enjoy. It's the good stuff.
And that's why he couldn't drum him off the ship.
Slice the supply and morale, officer.
So,
still keeping morale up.
We're putting all the eggs in this 6-digit basket, calling out the code to Tony Piccolo. And Tony Piccolo says, hey, did I ever tell you guys I was dyslexic? And everyone's like, oh, this is one of your silly Piccolo jokes. And he's like, no really,
it's,
though.
I'm not.
No, for sure.
Do you realize how many times it took me to type Narnia earlier?
Lucas is like, damn, I thought we could have got your family out. It was like 8 times.
So he types it in, and before they have him, like, they're like, wait, actually, let's go back over those. Let's make sure they're right, just in case.
They then give him the numbers backwards, right to left, to make sure. Yeah.
Which would have made me so much more confused. Now let's go backwards. Like, what?
So he punches him in, there's a flash of light, and everyone's like, Tony, get out of there, go, and he's like, oh, is it gonna blow up now? Like, no, it's gonna detach and squish you against the ocean floor, you gotta swim. I love that, as a, like, you did good, you still gotta get the fuck out of there, man.
So they've detached, Tony saved them, they are getting all the weapons ready, and they're taking off after the ship.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the Marauder is like, this, you know, Sequest is in pursuit. And Bridger is just like, come on, Jonathan, nail us!
Yeah.
Nail me hard!
He's begging Ford to kill him in order to save countless lives on land.
Yes.
Dagwood, not a fan of all this shooting business.
He's like, we're gonna kill the captain? But he's family. And Ford's like,
yeah, it sucks.
Sometimes you gotta kill your family.
Sometimes you gotta kill your family. Lucas's ears perk up like, huh?
What?
That's an option?
I can? But Bridger's been telling me I can't all these years.
I knew it. I knew he was lying to me. He always lies to me. I can't trust anyone in this world. Ah, and he just goes and cries for a few hours.
Ford's my new dad.
Ford is new dad.
Screw Bridger. He's dead to me. Ford, Papa.
That would be a great idea for an episode.
That, like, Lucas is so mad at Bridger that, like, he adopts Ford.
That would be
Ford.
Such a good B-plot that Lucas just imprints on anyone else to be his fake dad for a week. Oh, I would have loved that.
And they're just all like, how do you deal with him? He's so clingy.
That would have been perfect for Krieg, actually, or Ford, but
and it would have been so good too if, like, Lucas was getting into trouble and they're just like, because they're, maybe they all had a thing with, like, Bridger where they're like, come on, he's not that bad, he's just mm-hmm, a kid, mm-hmm. And then, like, it's the stuff where they're having to take the calls with the cops and whatnot, and they're like, oh my god, take this child back, we are all done, I cannot do this. He broke into the Best Buy again.
He was sitting there between three different 4K players and trying to figure out their relative merits. He didn't even take anything. It's decision paralysis.
He reprogrammed all of their computers to be faster, and they're mad at him now.
He unplanned the obsolescence. This sucks.
So the Marauder is in range of Cape New Quest. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We got 2 minutes to go till they're blowing the shit out of him.
Which means it is time for our boy Roy to swing for that Emmy.
Yes. We are going to act so hard. In such a good way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so good. When he delivers, he delivers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's frustrated. He's angry. And now, when he finally brings up what you, the viewer, I'm sure have had screaming in the back of your mind, what is different in Bridger between now and 12 years ago? His son.
Yes.
The loss of his son.
And in, like, a moment of frustration, he makes a statement about how, like, oh my god, even I wasn't the stubborn before Robert died.
Mm-hmm.
And the boat Bridger is like, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so he's like, yeah, check the date. There's a lot has happened. He checks the digital copy's last memory of Robert, which was a conversation where he convinced his son to stay in the academy and continue with the Navy.
And Bridger is like, yeah, he did. And then there was a war and he died.
You killed him.
You killed him. We killed him.
Yeah. Oh.
And as this is happening, 10 missiles are in the air, mm-hmm, heading mm-hmm. towards New Cape Quest. On the Sea Quest, Brody is comforting Tony. Wendy's hugging Tony as he's crying. Mm-hmm. Tony's aunt and Angie are just huddled against a wall, like, talking about how much they love each other. And like, it's gonna be okay, I guess, when we die. It's fine. Just pray.
So the mission is complete. The program is finished. The missiles are in the air. There is nothing. There is no purpose or future for Digital Bridger anymore.
Yes.
He is free of his orders.
And he's like, man, I'm starting to feel weird. And Bridger's like, yeah, because your program's over. Mm-hmm, there's mm-hmm. nothing left for you. Like this, you've done your purpose.
And so with that freedom, he's like, yeah, that thing you said a minute ago about giving me the rest of my program, let's do that. He would rather be complete than just sit here and grieve without a future.
And so he finishes downloading the program,
which takes him offline for a while.
Yes.
And that gives real Bridger the chance to just get on the keyboard and enter in codes. And he gives the destruct order. Yay!
Well, here's the thing, though. That's not what exactly happened. Bridger's trying.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the codes in, but the computer is not accepting it from Bridger.
Ah, right.
It's not taking the final command because he's not the Bridger that the computer is answering to. And in that moment, Computer Bridger comes back and gives the command to self-destruct the missiles mm-hmm, just mm-hmm. in time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he now has downloaded everything. He knows everything that's happened.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he has accepted and become more, you know.
He's complete.
He's complete.
Yeah.
He's Bridger. And so they self-destruct, no one dies, everyone's celebrating. Bridger is like, you became me. And Computer Bridger is like, I wish I hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I know the only reason I was built was to destroy, and I grieve Robert. And yeah. He starts the self-destruct sequence of the ship.
Complete Bridger realizes that he should not exist, that the seas yes. are for peaceful exploration and science and not for kill drones.
Yes. And so Meat Bridger gets out just in time as the ship explodes.
When we see everyone, like, with relief on land as the all clear siren goes and they aren't going to die in nuclear hellfire, I've seen more relief at a baseball game. Like, I would have had those extras give it a couple more tries.
here's the thing.
A little more heightened emotion.
Is there going off of the all clear sirens going off? That's just like the tornado sirens. I'm not gonna lie. When those go off the second time here for tornadoes, I'm like, so is that them telling me we're all clear, or is that telling me there's another tornado?
Second tornado.
Because it sounds identical. They don't sound different. There's nothing to tell me it's actually all clear. It's just, that's happening again.
10 more nukes, actually.
Second tornado? Just in case I missed it the first time, tornado? We actually good? So, like, I think they're all in the questioning mode of, like,
sure,
are we...
Sure,
okay, it's going off again. Are we good?
Aunt Rose are is not questioning. Good? Aunt Rose knows exactly what it is.
We... Should I duck and cover? Are we good? I get it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, I have the same thought.
So, in the wardroom, it is time for one last call with the Secretary General. And Bridger is, like, making his demands. He's making ultimatums. No more AI subs ever. This was a bad idea. You should have never done this.
Yeah.
You make one of these again, I quit, and I go to the press about how this is what almost killed millions of people.
Also, my crew gets shore leave.
Yeah. Again?
Again.
They're never sailing.
No. They sail for, like, 3 days, and then they go get shore leave.
There are longer cruises.
Bridger has them wrapped around his finger. He's like, shore leave forever.
Your sailors are going to become, like, they're going to think they're in the army. They're on land so much. What is this?
I think they're the Coast Guard.
The Coast Guard spends more time at sea than them.
Well, they're taking it very literally. We stay by the coast.
One foot on land, one foot in the water. There's a lot of shuffling as the waves go by.
So over in the mess, Tony mm-hmm, is mm-hmm. talking to Angie, and Angie is like, hey, Mom said you're a hero, so we're gonna put your picture on the mantle again. Do you want mugshot A or mugshot B? And, his Aunt Rose comes up and, like, shoves Angie out of the way and is like, it's my turn to talk. And that's when, like, the entire line of people waiting to talk erupt. And Tony's just yelling at them, I have more time!
I know my rights. Shut up, family. And, like, these two scenes with the big line for calls are also the most Lonnie Henderson has been a real person in the first 6 episodes.
Yeah.
It's the most she's been a real and complete person with depth and dimension.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a shame. I like her. When I think about the reasons I like her, it's all in episodes we're not going to see for a while, but it's still true.
Yeah. She's not really interesting in this season. But that's the end of the episode.
That's the end of the episode.
Aside from our fish facts.
Yes, Peter DeLuise reporting live from SeaWorld Orlando with a green sea turtle. Green sea turtles came on the scene around 50 million years ago. They are endangered. Their lifespan is unknown, but it is believed to extend beyond 100 years.
I predicted all this by doing green sea turtles.
You did, and one green sea turtle in particular with a floaty butt.
But I will say, the green sea turtle he has is very cute, and at the end it raises its little flipper and he's like, goodbye! And it's very adorable.
It's very cute. It's a little fella.
It's a little turtle. It's a little one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Darling, I've got a fish fact.
Yeah, what's your fish fact?
So very early when we see the people in the monitoring station at the base at Pearl,
mm-hmm.
they are listening to the local radio station
yes.
do a trivia call about the last Rolling Stones single.
Yes.
And one guy says, oh, it's this song from 2012, obviously. And another guy's like, ah, trick question. That wasn't a single release. It's this other song from 2011 is the last single. So I had to check and see that Sequest DSV underestimated the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
In fact, their most recent single was Mess It Up, which released in February 2024. The most recent to crack the U.S. mainstream rock chart was Angry in September 2023, just a few months previous. Now, as these were released after this episode was set, it is perhaps unfair to the program Sequest DSV, but I should point out that the Stones did not have any sort of extended hiatus between the years 2012 and 2019. Thank you very much.
You couldn't predict the future, right? Well,
do you have a fish fact?
Yeah, so I was curious if dolphins knew numbers.
Yeah, all right. Do dolphins know numbers?
And, like, I didn't find anything that said they, like, do.
Sure.
In, like, that regard. But I did find that in 2005, at the Dolphin Research Center in the Florida Keys, two dolphins demonstrated in experiments that they grasp relative numerosity.
Okay.
So the concept of fewer items is less than more of the same item.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
They can do more or less, for sure.
They can do more or less.
But can they do two?
Can they do two?
Right.
Can they
say an open question.
2, 3, 2, 6, 2, 9? Can they point that out?
Mm-hmm.
Haven't found that research yet.
Okay, all
Could
right.
Could come. You never know.
We're never going to get fish facts that detailed at SeaWorld Orlando.
No.
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 Not from any of the DeLuise boys, at least.
No. So, what did you think of this episode?
I like this episode quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like, it's a pretty good, like, sci-fi trope, right? To have your heroic leader go up against a version of themselves. A clone. Mm-hmm. An AI copy. A parallel universe version. Whatever. And so there are a few ways that can go. One is like that one scene we had with Ford. What if that was the whole thing?
Yeah.
It's time for the next generation to step up and stand on those shoulders and exceed them. It's not quite where it went. They went the other way, where the one we know has had character growth and development that the antagonist version hasn't had. And it is that, like, while Bridger is apparently this brilliant combat tactician, he decided that is a life that sucks and I will never do it again.
Yeah.
And he has to bring himself to make that realization, and he has to download guilt and pain into his computer brain.
Yeah.
And, like, damn himself to sadness and grief.
To become
complete, to become whole.
To be the Bridger we know and love.
And to climb that mountain as we know he can, because he did, in real time, and not, like, doo-doo-doo-doo, digital time.
Yeah.
And that's interesting, that's fun, that's good. Like, the tension is good, the battles are fun. Like, no, this is, like, effective science fiction.
Yeah. I do think this episode is a little slow at the beginning.
Sure.
But
sure.
Once it gets going and, like, this, I feel like once we're with, like, Ford, you gotta, like, you know, call the shots, and then onward, it's, like, really solid.
Yeah.
It's just a little slow before then, because I think we're like, get to the good stuff.
The good stuff, like Aunt Rose. Aunt Rose is great. I love her.
And I don't know if I've really, like, if I ever caught it before for what it was. But I did always like the feel of this episode, and this episode feels different than other ones. And it is because of what we've talked about it reflecting season one and things from season one. And I think you can see that in just Bridger's relationship with Lucas in this episode. We are going back to, like, season one stuff where he is trusted to do things.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. Like, he is brought in. He's sitting in the meeting. It's Lucas, go find me what you need. Ford, go find me what I need. Like, you both just go do your jobs. But also, like, being brought in, where I feel like we don't, like, so many of the episodes at the start of season two here were where I feel like they don't know Lucas.
Right?
Like, they're taking away from his computer background. Wendy needs to help him. He doesn't know how to work science equipment, right? Which drives me nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
And this one very much is like, no, Ford knows his job. Lucas knows his job.
Yeah, this is a collection of experts at the top of their game.
Yes.
And which is why it's so dangerous when one of those experts is now evil and shooting nukes at populated cities.
Yeah. But it's those callbacks, too, to, like, the fog professor and all those things.
Yeah, yeah.
But it
displays a continuity. Like,
yes.
This is the thing you like, and it's in the vein of the thing you like.
Yeah. And even though, like, nothing, like, you know, Lucas is not the one saving the day or whatever, it's that feel that feels like, I know this. Like, this feels right.
But it's also not entirely out of step with season two either.
It's not.
It's a big shooty action show.
Yes. It's just you're keeping, like, I feel like some character aspects we lost.
It's demonstrating that those two things don't have to be mutually exclusive. Yeah. They don't have to be set against each other.
Yeah, they
you
work.
You can be in the vein of both simultaneously.
And it works well.
Yes.
And you can have, Bridger being, I guess, more of a military guy than a science guy, but also, like, we are grasping at the fact he is a changed man. He's not this, like... He's the Bridger I know. Mm-hmm. Not like from last episode where I was like, that's not my Bridger.
If this was a straight up season one episode, I think they would find some sort of kelp that degrades mechanical, like magnetic tape or something. Like there would be a purely scientific solution.
I maybe, though. I feel like this, though, this reminds me a little bit of the pilot.
Mm-hmm,
in the sense of, like, he had to defeat what he created.
Right.
Right? Yeah, and this time he has to create what he has to defeat what he was. And it's kind of an interesting concept there.
Right. Yeah. But to follow the pilot, like, that has that long montage of people interacting with systems.
Yes.
And, like, the season one version of A Sincerest Form of Flattery in my head is, Hitchcock flies the hyperreality probe and, like, futzes with connections, and they mess with it as technology. And the big... shouty, shooty, we love Tony Piccolo version of season two is we gotta have feelings at the machine.
Yeah.
we gotta find what the gap is between this machine and a complete living person.
Yeah.
And that gap, in this case, is the grief of a dead son.
Yeah. We could have totally had playing with, like, wires and stuff if... like, the sea spider would have, like, cut the power to the ship or something, and they all had to then go do mechanical repairs across the ship.
And we see the goo tubes.
Yeah!
Remember the goo tubes?
I love the goo tubes. Bring them back. Yeah. Give me a fix-it montage. Where everyone's sweaty and greasy. But now with no sleeves.
Ortiz with the long hair getting great, sweaty and greasy. Yeah.
Give the people what they want.
Anyhow, that's all we have to talk about this time.
So, you know what you should do?
What should you do? What should they do? Tell them what they should do.
You should go leave us a 5-star rating or review wherever you listen to us.
You should. And if you leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, I'm going to read it. And if you leave it elsewhere, I'm probably not going to find it.
It's kind of hard.
But one day I might just get bored and go looking, which is how I found Sarah the 1001 left us a 5-star rating and review on Podcast Addict,
which I've never heard of.
And Sarah says, I'm enjoying this a lot, just like rewatching the show with two knowledgeable, funny friends.
Aww.
Thank you, Sarah, the 1001.
Yeah. You can also go tell your friends. Word of mouth does a lot. It can bring those funny friends together.
Yeah.
You can also follow us on social media. We are on Blue Sky at Whiskers, WSKRS, and it's lots of fun there.
It's lots of fun. That is where you can talk about the show with us, with other people, and in case we have any announcements, that's where you're going to see them get announced first. Like... then I think we're taking a break week.
We will be breaking next week, yes.
No episode next Thursday.
No, because we are going to go to C2E2. And we are going to go see Captain Hudson.
If you don't know who Captain Hudson is, you will in a few months.
You will in a few. Spoilers!
I think you mean we're going to see Dr. Levin.
Well, no, you got to pay to see his panel.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to see Dr. Levin.
I don't think we're
going
to see Dr. Levin.
But we'll be in the same building that Dr. Levin is in. It is C2E2 weekend, and that means there are some people coming. And means we will not have chance to record.
Because we're going to be busy, and then we're going to be sleepy.
Because we're going to go to C2E2 in Sequest jumpsuits.
Yes!
So, if you would also like this type of knowledge, you should follow us on social media so you can see what our Sequest jumpsuits look like. I have been working away. They look, well, yours looks great. Mine's a work in progress. Yours looks great.
Yours is like a quarter of the way to looking great. That's just the order you did them in.
Yeah. I just have to keep going.
So do not look for a new episode on the 17th, but you should look for one on the 24th. Again, commitments, announcements, and news you're going to find on Blue Sky at Whiskers, WSKRS.bisky.social.
Gotta get those biscuits.
I'm sorry, cookie season's over.
You can go find cookies anywhere. Not... You're talking about Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, Girl Scout cookies have different cookie seasons across the country.
That's true.
Just because our local council is ending its cookie season, there are other councils that are just starting. So this is your message out there, people, to go support your local Girl Scouts through their cookie program if it is going on in your area. Profits stay local, helping troops, and also councils. Go buy your cookies. It's also the last year for s'mores.
It is.
So I guess if you like that cookie, which I don't, go buy it. Instead, get an Adventureful. Those are really good.
Those are really
Those
good.
Are really good.
And with that,
I'm Elena.
I'm Grant, and in the words of Captain Nathan Bridger,
for beneath the surface lies the future.
Beneath the surface lies the future.
Do a 3, do a 6, do a 9.